We have Tistra Hultling. I'm probably pronouncing your name incorrectly.
Pretty close, Tom. It's Tistria Hultling.
Tistria Hultling. Did I get it right that time?
You did. Oh, perfect.
I think maybe there was a... You've got a difficult to pronounce election there with you and your Democratic candidate. Don,
how do
you say his name? Don
Boyajian.
Boyajian, and then whichever one of you wins will take go up against Jake Ashby, who is easy to pronounce. And this is the 107th Assembly District that was long held by Steve McLaughlin, one of the closest things to Donald Trump in New York that hasn't been arrested by the FBI. I guess we say yet. So you've got a whole kinds of difficult hurdles ahead of you. You've got an election on a Thursday because I guess Andrew Cuomo wanted to make it easier for him to run against a Democratic primary opponent. And you've got to beat a Democrat, and then you've got to beat a Republican that in a seat that has been Republican for how many years?
Over 20.
Over 20 years. So how are you going to do all that?
Well, Tom, I'm coming with a message that I think really resonates with people. People in my district feel underrepresented by their government currently, and like their voices aren't being heard. And so as the town clerk in the town of New Lebanon, I've seen firsthand how our small rural communities are really not being heard on a state level. We're not getting the funding that we deserve. We're not getting the programs that we deserve. And so I'm a Democrat, a proud Democrat, but I also reach across party lines. I won in New Lebanon by a 13% margin in a community that is, you know, a red community similar to the district that I'm running in. And Jake Ashby won by under 200 votes in April, so it is a winnable race. And
this year, at least, right? This is the best chance to flip that district this year because of the Democrat enthusiasm.
It is. And I'm also, the things that I'm speaking to, like our infrastructure and our opioid crisis, these are things that are not a Democratic issue. These are things that are widespread across our district. And so I think that my message really resonates with people across all party lines.
And ethics reform, I see, is one of the four issues on your webpage that you're interested in. How are you going to get ethics reform through a legislature that has had both of its leaders from both parties convicted on corruption charges in recent years, and a executive branch that is also had several court cases on corruption issues, and absolutely nothing got done on ethics this past year in the legislature? Nothing, even though the governor said in his State of the State that he was going to focus on that, and even though individual legislators say they're going to focus on that, nothing was done. How are you going to get some ethics reform in Albany?
That's a great question, Tom. So as you know, we have one of the most corrupt state governments in the country. And, you know, taking away the pension of people that have been found guilty of committing a crime is certainly a great first step. But I'd like to take it a step further. I'd like to say that our elected officials are held to a higher standard than the people that elect them. And if you're found guilty while in your capacity as an elected official, you don't get to be an elected official anymore. You've broken that trust. And when you talk about passing that through and you're talking about affecting the people who are in these elected positions, I think the best way you do that is by going to the people, having real openness and transparency in our government, because these are our tax dollars. So when you're open and transparent and you bring light into what's going on, you know, people get involved. And when you tell your elected officials, if you don't take these steps for real ethics reform, we're going to find someone else to take your job, I found that to be the most effective mechanism to evoke change, is to go to the people and really bring openness and transparency and kind of shine a light on everything that's going on, you know, to get people involved and to say, if you're not representing me the way that I want to be represented, we're going to elect someone else into that position. And we've seen it, you know, with the young people in our nation. A lot of them are going to be voting pretty soon, and they've made a very clear message that, you know, if we're not safe in our schools, if you're not representing what we want as a country, then when we all vote, we're going to come together and we're going to vote you out. And so I think going to the people with things like ethics reform and really bringing a knowledge to people of what's really going on, I think that that's the best route there.
And you mentioned the opioid addiction problem before. I think our listeners probably know a lot about what Chatham is doing about that and what problems there are in Chatham. Can you tell us a little bit what the situation is in New Lebanon and what you'd like to do about it?
Sure. So before I was the town clerk, I was the court clerk for 6 years, and I saw firsthand that what we're doing right now is not working. We would have people come in that were struggling with opioid addiction, and they would say, "I need help." And that's really the only time that treatment's going to be successful is when the person comes forward and says, "I need help." And way too many times we told them there's no bed available for you. And the program that you mentioned that Peter Volkman is running in Chatham actually treats the addiction, and it treats it as a health emergency as opposed to a criminal issue. And when you can provide treatment to the people that need treatment, you're going to be successful. I have multiple friends that have lost brothers in the last year because they've gone to jail, and while they were in jail, they did not receive any treatment services, any treatment programs, and they got out and they used right away, and they used at the rate that they had used at when they went in, and their bodies didn't have the same tolerance, and they died that very first time using it. So I know that we can do better. So as a state assemblywoman, I'm going to push for more funding, and I'm going to push for more treatment centers and programs where people can really receive help when they want help. And I think what Peter's done in Chatham is brilliant. It's worked very successfully. There are some towns in Massachusetts that have also done a similar treating the addiction with treatment programs. And I think that's the only way that you're going to have an impact on the crisis that we're facing right now as a nation.
You're trailing your opponent in fundraising overall. I guess you did better recently, but he's amassed a big war chest, I guess, because he's an Armenian, and there's an Armenian community in the district. Can you comment on that and what you're doing to raise money?
Sure. So one clarification that I think is really important is that in this race for the New York State Assembly, I am actually the top income or the top money raiser. He was raising money for a completely different race. He was running a congressional race, and he raised money for about a year.
He was going to run against Elise Stefanik before, right?
Exactly. He was running for CD21 in a primary up there. About a month before that primary, he quit that race and jumped into this race, and he brought with him about $150,000. So when it comes to the actual assembly race, he has not raised very much money. I have outraised him by quite a margin. But when it comes to actual money, you know, ready to use, he certainly has more. But I do want to point out that in that congressional race, he was the top money earner, and yet he pulled towards the bottom. And Tedra Cobb, who won that race, didn't have nearly as much money as he did. And it just shows you that money doesn't buy you votes. People want a candidate that relates to them, that reaches them, that talks to them about the issues. And I'm that candidate.
And you'll probably be going up against a well-funded Republican candidate in the fall if you win. Are you worried about that? Are you getting lots of support from the state Democratic institutions?
Yeah, so the interesting thing is that Jake Ashby, as of the July filing, had only raised $10,000, and I had raised close to $25,000. So I am also way ahead of my Republican opponent when it comes to fundraising. When I win the primary on September 13th, I think that's when organizations like DAC, the Democratic Assembly Campaign Committee, a lot of the unions that are staying out of it while there's a primary, but after there's a winner of the primary, will come in. So there's going to be a lot of money that comes in there. And I'm still actively fundraising. So I'm raising thousands of dollars each and every week from a lot of small donations coming in. A lot of people are really excited about me and are doing regular donations through Act Blue. And that's adding up. So, you know, I'm not concerned about fundraising, although I'm always open to anybody that wants to donate to bring in more fundraising. But as of right now, I have more money than my Republican opponent.
And we've just got 2 minutes left. Can you just give a quick pitch to voters about why they should turn out for you on Thursday, September 13th?
Sure. Thanks so much for your time, Tom. So I'm the candidate that is a working class mother of three. My husband's a diesel mechanic. I was born and raised in New Lebanon. I know firsthand the needs of the small rural communities. And I am going to be a fighter for all of us, the regular people of the district. I feel like when we don't have all the perspectives in our government, when we only have perspectives of rich white males, it gives us a very limited view. And we need all different socioeconomic backgrounds, we need all different genders, we need all different races to ensure that the perspective that we're bringing to the table is as varied as the people that we represent. And so I'm going to fight for things like, you know, ethics reform, our roads and infrastructure, getting us the funding we deserve, the opioid crisis. And I'm going to fight for these things knowing what it's like to go back to work when my babies are 6 weeks old because we financially can't afford not to. And I know what it's like to have a health insurance plan that's $1,800 a month, yet still pay high deductibles and high co-pays every time we go to use our insurance. And I know what it's like to have a mom that pretty soon is going to have to decide whether to live with me or live in a nursing home, not because she medically needs to, but because she can't afford to live on her income once she's retired. These are very real needs of our district, and I've walked in the shoes of so many of you, and I know what it's like to fight these fights day in and day out. And I feel that we pay a lot of money in taxes, and that money is supposed to be coming back to us for programs that support the people in our communities, and we can do better than we're doing right now. And so I'm going to be a tough advocate for all of you. I'm going to go to every town in my community and talk about what the needs are, how the state's doing, how we can do better, really open up the communication and the transparency and the